I'm here interviewing John Solomon from Rescue Bands. So tell me a little bit about yourself, like your education, your background, where you're from.
So I'm originally from New York. I got my bachelor's degree at the University of South Florida. I was about to go to law school after graduating and decided to actually go to business school. I got talked out of it by a friend who tried this master's program, the Center for Entrepreneurship, and their Masters of Applied Technology, or Venture Capital and Entrepreneurship, at the University of South Florida. So entered that program. While there, I founded a product called the Snap Cap that turned a can into a bottle. And instantly, we started selling about 20,000 pieces a month. When all said and done, you know, we got up into, you know, the millions. From there, I joined a company that was replicating the technology that Groupon was based off of. Left that company after, you know, turning their B2B model to a B2C model. Then I started doing some media work on college campuses, basically emergency alert systems, and also in the event that, initially they were advertisements, but in the event that there's an emergency, became emergency alert systems. In March of 2011, actually, I formed a venture capital firm, and that's where Rescue Bands came out of. Rescue Bands is our first project out of it. We're also launching a venture capital fund, an incubator for young professionals, and a Groupon product type website for new products. Rescue Bands is our first one. It just launched officially at the Outdoor Retailing Show, which is the largest outdoor retailing show in the world, in March of 2011, that launched. So about a month, not March, sorry, August. So that was about a month ago. Basically, the premise of Rescue Bands is the Paracord products, primarily our bracelet. And the bracelet holds 550 pounds and extends up to 20 feet of cord. I founded the company, actually, because I was sailing one day in about 20-mile-an-hour winds, got lost at sea, my boat flipped, lines broke, and I had boats coming all at me, and I, you know, didn't know what to do. Looked down at my wrist, saw my bracelet, undid it, made new lines for my sail, and sailed back in. And from there, you know, I made my life's mission to help other people.
All right, what would you describe as your target market for Rescue Bands?
We're kind of taking a different approach than our competitors. The product's been around for about 30 years. It's primarily a military product. A lot of our competitors go with a strictly outdoors, rugged, military approach to their product. And my product approach is a little different. We target just the general population. So you can wear, your neighbor can wear, your dog can wear. It's an everyman product. We make it stylishly prepared for life's adventures. So we primarily push the colors, the bright, the neon greens, the reds, and then also it holds 550 pounds. So, you know, it's just a different approach. Our competitors have mainly been, you know, the camo, the black, the olive drab. So, you know, it's kind of a unique approach. It's anybody. And also we can customize them with charity name. And so it's just a radical approach. So I wouldn't say we're having one set target market. It's anybody that likes the colors, you know, it depends on what they like it for.
So when you start in Rescue Bands, what do you think were your barriers of entry into the industry?
I definitely think our barriers of entry were learning to make the product. So when I officially founded, somebody gave me a sample of one that they had made. And so from there, we had to train a team how to make them. I think product quality was definitely one of our initial struggles. We had to figure out, you know, what does everybody want? So what we want necessarily might not be what the customer wants. And, you know, right now I think we're on our fifth or sixth iteration of it. You know, trying to figure out the right amount of pull, the right feel, the right burn for the rope. And then from there, it's about convincing your customers to switch from possibly using somebody else's to using yours. And also, especially our message is different because a lot of our competitors go for a strictly, you know, 550-pound rugged approach. We're kind of going, it holds 550 pounds, but also it's colorful and stylish. So they're two completely different messages, and it's at times hard to express, you know, which message. So I'm always switching kind of roles.
Were there any factors that hindered the growth of your business?
Yeah, there's always things when you're doing business, especially being your own entrepreneur, that are outside of your control. So a lot of times you have to outsource work. So for instance, one thing is our website. So we put up an initial website. It was not the greatest, but we were come up with this concept. We decided we were going to attend this initial launch show back in March. And no, yeah, March. And, you know, so we spent 2 weeks trying to learn the product, making it. We threw up a website. And so we went to make up a new website. And a lot of times you have to rely on other people and what they say, you know, for, in this case, the website. And it was not the right information. So that hindered us and has set us back a few months on our launch. And especially with, you know, being a website, that's your key component for doing business. So whether you're selling to a retailer, it always comes back to the website. And everything really integrates in together. So a lot of it is outsourcing and, you know, trusting other people. And, you know, because you can't wear every hat. You have to rely on other people. And delegation is your biggest thing when starting your own business.
So what traits do you think are most important for an entrepreneur?
Most important traits. Most important traits would be dedication. If you want to do something, you have to be really dedicated, because being your own boss, you always have ups and downs. You know, there's days when, you know, you're selling and you're having great success, and there's some days when you just are like, why am I doing this? So you just have to roll the punches and take the good for the bad. Especially about being your own boss, you know, you have to understand that you're the last person to get paid. So, you know, you have to be able to financially support yourself. And that's one of the biggest things people don't understand. They think, you know, hey, I'm going to make money day one. And that's not the case. I've been in some businesses where I go 5-6 months where I'm just living off my savings. Mm-hmm. But that's what you have to do. You have to look at the bigger picture.
Right.
For it.
Take me through a typical day for you.
Typical day for me at work. You know, being an entrepreneur, especially, you know, it all depends. The typical entrepreneur, they say, a study came out actually in, I think it was either Forbes or Inc. magazine, where they said the average CEO wakes up at 6:15 and goes to bed at 10:15. That's not me. So typically, my day starts at 7 a.m. I wake up. You know, I usually take a moment, you know, to go on Bayshore, and which is, you know, a long area in Tampa where, you know, along the water. And I just go and I just, you know, think about what I have to do for the day. So then I, you know, get to the office typically by 8 o'clock, check my messages, check my email.
Uh-huh.
I make it a key priority in my day to always be on top of my email. So if someone responds to me, worst case scenario, I'll respond to them within an hour. But usually, you know, BlackBerry or whatever, I respond, and I'm known for that. I respond to all my emails, and then typically I have out in my calendar a list of things I have to do for that day. Now, typically things I have for the previous day, even a week, 2 weeks ago, are still lined up with things I still have to do, so my list is always being added to. But I usually will spend the morning doing things that I have to do for the business myself, and if I have to have a meeting, I usually push my meetings to the afternoon. Because I want to make sure that I have a set period of time that whatever I have to do for our business, I know I can get it done, and I have this blocked off that I have no interruptions. But, you know, interruptions do happen.
Right.
Many times I'll eat, you know, I'll have lunch at the office. You know, I don't have time to leave.
Right.
From there, you know, I'll usually have my meetings, you know, whatever schedule for the afternoon. At times I'll make the sales phone calls myself. People, you know, whether it's, they don't realize what size business you are. You know, you can project this huge image, like we sometimes do. You know, we have a staff of about 40 people. But, you know, sometimes people think, you know, we're a 100-man business. And people like when, you know, the president themselves call you and say, hey, you know what? Like, what do you think? Like, how are you doing? You know,
yeah,
there's nothing more we can do, you know.
Top management call.
And they're like, you know, I love it. So I'll make sales phone calls, do some marketing. All throughout the day, I'll interact with our Twitter or Facebook. I actually handle the marketing ourselves. We have a marketing firm, but I always like to go in there and see what people are doing and interact with them and answer questions. People love it if they know that a business themselves is actually personally interacting and answering their questions. Many times on a Twitter or a Facebook page, you have the mavens. A maven's really your person on your page who is like a dedicated loyal follower of your product. They don't get paid or anything, but they make it their life's mission to go on, help others. So we have mavens that help out, but I make it a point also to go on and interact with our customers. And I'll do that all throughout the day. And then, usually my day ends at the office at about 6:30, 7 o'clock. From there, I go home, usually take a breather for about 30, 45 minutes. But then, especially with Rescue Band just launching, I'm back at work at home until usually like 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. And then I go to sleep.
Adios, man.
Wake up. But that's part of doing business,
Right.
Being a startup, the more time you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. There's never a time when you have a downtime. It's rare that I see that. Even when we really start growing,
Right.
There's always something like, you always want to be checked, especially being your own boss and having to rely on other people, you have to check. And I'll do that 7 days a week. I'll even work on the weekends. I don't remember the last time I had the weekend off. But the thing is about being your own boss and being an entrepreneur, if you put in the time needed and you give it 110%, you definitely see the rewards in it. So, there's the downs, but then there's the serious rewards to it also.
So, if you get Rescue Bands going full time, to where you can kind of step back, would you like to start maybe another type of business?
So that's kind of the goal of what our venture capital firm does. Once Rescue Bands is really going, and I feel confident, somebody will step in, manage the day-to-day operations of Rescue Bands, and then we'll move on to the next concept to launch.
Gotcha.
And we'll just keep doing it. The best and, kind of analogy to the whole thing would be if you look at Richard Branson and what he does. He's got maybe 50, 100 companies under the Virgin Group, but he doesn't manage day-to-day operations every single one of them. He oversees kind of what all these managers are doing, gets reports, but he relies on these people. You have to hire people you can trust. The most important things about your business, you have to hire happy employees. If you have one employee who's not satisfied, it just brings everybody down. They can be your best worker, the most asset for your business, but just a bad attitude,
kind of a cancer in the company.
Exactly. It's like they say, you have one bad link in your chain.
Chain breaks apart.
Right.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
About
entrepreneurship or Rescue Bands or?
I'll definitely go buy a Rescue Band. I definitely think it's important that if you're going to, step away from maybe a career you're doing or maybe you lost your job and you're looking for something to do, really put some thought into it before you jump into it. Because a lot of people, they say that they can do it and, I have the best idea since sliced bread. But what you think is a great idea might not be what everybody else thinks is a great idea. You might find people just like you. But are there enough people that it's profitable for you to do it? It's important that before you jump into it, you definitely go online and see if anybody else is doing it, what your competition is. But put some serious thought into it to see if you definitely want to do it. I'm also a firm believer in that if you can fund the business yourself, do it. You can take venture capital funding, angel funding. But early on, people can take advantage of you and you can lose a lot of your business. And really just lose the creative control that, what might have made your business, the best it could have been. A good place that I always recommend going to is Kickstarter.com, which is social funding. So it's like venture capital funding. But let's say for our bracelets, which we're going to launch a campaign actually on Kickstarter. you can go on there and say, hey, give me $5, I'll give you a free bracelet. Give me $20, I'll give you X. Mm-hmm. You give me $500, and I'll have lunch with you. Mm-hmm. So instead of giving your business away, you give them a customer incentive to donate to your business, and in return, you're giving them product, sticker, cool. Good karma.
Yeah.
And it's been very successful for a lot of people, and I think, you know, we'll do the same thing.
Yeah.
And also, I think it's important to also have role models.
Okay.
You know, look at what other people are doing. You know, like I, you know, I don't know these people, but I, you know, I read their blogs, I read, you know, what they're doing. Like Steve Jobs, Mark Cuban, Richard Branson, because their model, the way they do business, is something I like to replicate for my business. And so,
right.
Since they've had success, you know, I read Mark Cuban's blog to see what he's talking about, because, you know, maybe there's something he's doing that I say, oh, well, this is how he's interacting with his business. Maybe I can do the same thing. So it's important to, you know, have mentors and,
right.
You know, if possible, do everything you can to...
To model them.
And also a key part is also networking.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things I've done, you know, I've met one person that leads to another person,
mm-hmm.
that leads to another person. You know, you're always knocking on new doors,
right.
And you know, I don't care who you are, you can always meet somebody new that can take your business to the next level or, you know, do something new,
right.
For you.
All right, I think that's all I have for you, John. Appreciate you doing the interview with me.
Uh-huh.